All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Always Loading Podcast. And this is my favorite section of the podcast, is the relatable role models episodes. And we all have these role models in our lives, like Will Smith, Tim Ferriss, Tony Robbins, you know, Oprah Winfrey, these big tycoons that have done amazing things in their life, but they're so hard to relate to because it's like, man, of course you're happy, Tony Robbins. You have everything you could ever want. Like, you're still in the fight, but you're out of the fight. Like, you're out of the struggle. You're out of the grind, the muck. And so the coolest thing for me to do is to bring on people like Tommy Clark and like the other people that I've brought onto this podcast, because it gives you guys just a tiny glimpse of like, okay, I can relate to that, but he has a certain level of success or a certain passion or a certain drive that I can add, and I can pick and I can add to my life to make my life more better, more fulfilling. And then I can ask questions to help you guys and help his viewers as well get to the nitty gritty of like what we're going through, because we're in the fight right now to make your guys' lives better. And it's not easy. We were literally just talking about it off the podcast. So I'm so excited to have Tommy Clark. He's a certified nutritional coach. And I'm going to let him introduce himself for you guys.
My man, thank you so much for having me on the show. Definitely super excited to be here. Always love hopping on other podcasts and being able to share my story, hopefully help a few of you guys out. And for those of you guys that haven't seen any of my content before, which odds are most of you haven't, just to introduce myself real quick, my name is Tommy Clark. Like Jeremy said, I'm a certified nutrition coach, and actually started off my nutrition journey when I was still playing basketball. So growing up through middle school, high school, and a little bit in college, I was a hooper as well. And I wasn't the most athletic kid in the world. I was your stereotypical white guy that stood in the corner and shot threes. Like, that was my game. Luckily, I was like decent enough at it that it got me the shot to play in college at the Division III level. And even at that level, like when I got to college, it was a really big wake-up call, because up until that point, I had just been that guy that was always in the gym 6-7 days a week, 2-3 times a day. And that allowed me to get that far just based on pure work ethic alone. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to college, it was kind of like, oh shit, am I allowed to cuss on this podcast?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm not athletic, like relative to the rest of my teammates now that I'm at the college level. And part of me was like, okay, I'm a freshman. Maybe I just wait it out. But the other part of me is like, no, like, there's got to be something else missing here. Right. And like, what is that piece? Because I was in the gym 6-7 days a week, watching film, like any YouTube video I can find on how, like, and literally anything I could do to better myself as a hooper, I thought I was. And then somehow I was scrolling through some forum on, I don't even remember what the website was, but some like basketball forum. And some dude made a post talking about nutrition. And I was like, oh, you know what? Like, that kind of makes sense. Like, I should probably start considering that. And like, I didn't eat the worst in the world. Like, my teammates, and especially in high school, were far worse than I was in terms of habits, but by no means was I fueling myself properly, like to the standards that I should have been. So that kind of got me going down the rabbit hole of nutrition. And the funny thing there is, though, that I did like the worst possible thing I could have done when I first got started. So I'm sure you've heard of like the paleo diet.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Hey, so I went through this exact thing. I've been guessing.
So it's the beginning of my freshman college basketball season. Like, I'm in season at this point.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you know what? This makes sense. Like, and there's literally a book titled The Paleo Diet for Athletes. And looking back, that title What was the author's name?
No, but did you get that idea from Ray Allen? Because that's where I got it from.
Oh, no, I didn't even – he went paleo?
Dude, he did paleo while he was in the NBA.
I know LeBron did it for a little bit, and everyone was freaking out because he lost, like, 12 pounds. But I read this book, and it was titled The Paleo Diet for Athletes. And I was like, oh, like, this is amazing. And at that point, I was, like, new into the nutrition industry. I wasn't even really in the nutrition industry at that point. And I didn't understand that everyone who has a nutrition book most likely just wants to sell you something. Or sell you some sort of diet. So long story short, did that for a couple months, ended up losing 21 pounds in a month and a half.
21?
I'm 6'5". I was at 200 when I first started the diet. And then I got down to like 178, 179, which at 6'5" is not ideal, especially when you're playing in college.
I'm sure you felt like ridiculously shredded, and you were like, okay, this looks.
Oh, dude, I was peeled. I was skinny as hell, but like I was shredded. I had a six pack, and like that honestly was part of the motivation for doing it. Like I subconsciously, like on the surface, I was like, this is for performance. This is why I'm doing it. But I also wanted a six pack. I wanted to get shredded, and I accomplished that goal, but at the expense of whatever bit of athletic performance that my non-athletic self had left, just that my body could not get 2 inches off the ground, was lightheaded at the end of practices. Mm-hmm. During games, went in for the 3 minutes that I got off the bench and came out feeling like I got hit by a truck. And it was like, what's happening here?
Right. And it was this at the D3 level, or was this in high school?
D3. Yes. Right. This is once I was in college. And luckily, although that was, it seems like a negative experience, a lot of it was positive though, because I was still fascinated with this stuff. And I was still like researching, listening to podcasts, reading books, like all stuff that I wasn't, like besides school, like I hadn't read a full book outside of school for, I don't know, since elementary school. So it got me kind of back into that side of things. And I was super fascinated by it. And ultimately ended up finding out, oh shit, carbs are important. I probably shouldn't be cutting out over in.
I'm going to cut you off too for a second, because I want people to understand that that's one of the biggest reasons why I had you on, is when you and I had our initial conversation, which was literally over the phone 4 months ago, probably.
Yeah, I think about that.
Yeah, when you first reached out to me, I just remember how passionate you were about, well, it's not even passionate, it's like the wrong word, but this shit is just fascinating. Like it really is. Yeah. And I've always kind of been a self guinea pig too. I went through the paleo phase. Where I was like, oh, Ray Allen does this. Like, I want to try it and see how it helps with my body. And I feel like the constant drive that you and I both have is we wanted to make it. We wanted to make it to the top level, and we were willing to do pretty much anything necessary and try something and be like, okay, let's try it into my life and let's see if it works. And like, it's not ever... And when something like that fails, it's not seen as like a failure. It's just like, okay, that totally doesn't work.
Oh, for sure.
Thank God I didn't get more injured or more sick or more, you know, insert adjective here, but let's try something else.
Yeah, for sure. And that applies even off the court too. Like you and I were talking about editing videos and whatnot before we started recording. And I remember, I think it was a couple months ago too, I had the idea. I was like, I'm going to start a vlog. And then like, I started putting all the pieces together and starting to edit. And I think I got like 2 minutes into the video. It took me like several hours to edit that. And I was like, okay, this is not happening. But it's like good thing I didn't spend another several hours trying to figure it out. I figured out, okay, this doesn't work for me. Let me try something else. But kind of getting back to the nutrition thing, kind of at that point, about 2 months into the paleo experiment, figured out, okay, carbs are important. This is probably not a good idea to, I think I saw a video on YouTube titled Why the Paleo Diet Sucks for CrossFit. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And obviously CrossFit, basketball, two very different things, but energy systems wise, relatively
pretty similar.
So I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. I probably shouldn't be cutting all this stuff out from my diet. So I started to reintroduce stuff slowly, started to figure out how to track my macros, use my fitness pal, and like figure out how many calories I was eating. Because at that point, I still had zero clue. I was just quote unquote eating healthy or eating paleo. I didn't know how much I was eating. So I started to figure that out and put the weight back on. And over the course of that next off season, gained another 8 pounds from where I had started. So I got back up to 200 and then put on another 8 pounds up to 208. And it was a pretty significant transformation, even from that 200 to 208.
And it's a solid 208,
It was solid. And looking back now, like at pictures during that time, I don't think I realized how, like, I still looked pretty shredded at 208. And performed a lot better, felt a lot better on the court. And that's just kind of further ingrained the passion for nutrition. Like, whoa, this is actually really cool. Now it's helping me. And then over the course of that same time period, started helping out some of my friends. My first quote unquote client was actually my best friend. The dude lost like 60 pounds. And then that was kind of like a, oh, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this moment. And that got me into the whole nutrition coaching side of things. Got my first certification and started working with some clients. And this is all still while I was playing basketball.
Right.
And then that next season came around, and for whatever reason, I just started to get burnt out with college basketball. There's no like specific, like, oh, it's the coach. I had an amazing coach. He had just come in. It was his first year there. Amazing coach. And no like real reason for me to stop playing other than the fact that it just wasn't for me anymore. And I was actually really a lot more interested in helping other athletes figure this stuff out in terms of nutrition and performing to the best of their ability. And I'd be at practice wanting to go home and work on content or like record a podcast. Or
that's so cool. That's fascinating. That reminds me of like when you see Lethal Shooter talk about how he didn't make it.
Yeah.
How he just had this spark. And it's something as a current athlete right now, I can't quite fathom that, you know, as I'm training somebody, I'm like, I'm not a trainer. Like, even if I'm working with somebody, I'll tell them, I don't actually train people. I work with one kid that I let work out with me. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to charge you because I'm not going to accept the fact that my playing days are not done because this is my main ultimate goal.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating that you literally be at practice and be like, man, I'm so excited to get back. And like, was it more of a, I'm excited to continue to learn while I help people, or was it more of a, I can just see this growing? Was there a big picture that kind of just popped into your head and you're like, okay, this is super cool, let's jump on this?
So a little bit of both. I think at first it was kind of just like to continue to learn and stuff like that. And I got my second certification, and that's kind of what triggered me to be like, oh wow, like I can actually like make this a business and actually obviously help people. It's still the number one priority, but building a business and creating like all this content and stuff like that, then that kind of entered the picture. I think once that became part of the conversation of like, okay, this could actually be a real thing, it started to become apparent that it wasn't going to be realistic to maintain basketball to the degree that I wanted to and pursue that to the degree that I wanted to.
Right.
And at that point I had tried, and also keep in mind, I'm still in school. So it wasn't really possible to do all three of those things at one time.
Maybe if you were at a small professional level and it was just basketball and just nutrition in the business, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. But with school in the picture, it didn't make sense to try to do all three. Tried it for about 3 weeks when season officially started, and that was probably the most stressful 3 weeks of my life. and then I decided, okay, like something's got to give. I really didn't want to give up the nutrition stuff because I'm just super interested in it and still am. And I was starting to feel a little bit burnt out with basketball. And it was just kind of like, it was really weird. It was a weirdly easy transition for me.
Interesting. That sounds like Kobe-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's quite the comparison, but.
Well, you just think about how quickly he moved on and was like so fascinated by the next part of his chapter.
No, I see what you mean for sure. but that's kind of what happened. And it's just like, okay, I'm okay with this. Like it was the weirdest thing because up until that point, basketball literally been my life for probably a decade. And then just transitioned out of that, and then from there, continue building the nutrition coaching side of things. At that point, I was mainly like working with general population people. And then as I started to get more experience there, started to pivot more and more into working with athletes. And then now I'm working with a lot of overseas hoopers and a couple G League guys, and going to be doing some NBA pre-draft nutrition, whenever the pre-draft process starts,
just kidding, right?
The whole coronavirus thing we have going on right now. But that's kind of like the story of how I got to where I am right now.
Right on. Was there a part of you that wanted to work with the general population and like not build up like confidence in yourself, but just like, okay, let's like double check and make sure this works, or like before you kind of dove into the basketball world and maybe went after, you know, working with professional athletes, overseas hoopers, people in the G League, like, was there a part of like, I don't want to be a fraud and I want to have some sort of background? Like what, I guess what kept you from doing that right off the bat?
Well, I think a little bit of that, definitely. I definitely wanted to make sure like I knew what I was doing. And obviously like general population is the easiest industry to break into in terms of all that stuff. Like literally someone could say they're a nutritionist and not have to have any sort of certification or any sort of knowledge or anything.
It's probably got to frustrate you a little bit.
It definitely does, but kind of started there, and then I always had the idea of like I wanted to work with athletes, and eventually just decided I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Like, I know if I get any sort of athlete, assuming everything's normal. Of course, if they have like underlying health conditions, that's a job for a dietitian. But
Right.
assuming everything is normal health wise, like if I get any sort of athlete, I'm going to create results for them. I'm going to help them. So there's no real
And in that,
reason, yeah.
reason is it, and it's a question I wrote down, is like, is it hard for you not to oversimplify things at times? Like when it, someone doesn't have any underlying conditions and you just, you have them send you their, their micros and their macros and you look at it and you're just like, dude, eat. Like,
Yeah, it's
is it?
hard. It's hard not to overcomplicate it, because for someone like me, especially at first, I love the science of it and I am fascinated by it. So, I want to get to all the complex strategies and like having them track their macros and focus on different nutrient timing strategies and supplementation and nutritional periodization, all these fancy things. But a lot of times it stays very simple. And even with the pro guys that I'm working with right now, a good majority of them are tracking their macros. But especially when we first started with them, a lot of it was just like, dude, just eat three meals a day consistently, or like drink some water, or get some vegetables in. Like the simple stuff. And a lot of it stays there. And I think what a lot of athletes don't realize is that it really doesn't have to get much more complicated than that. It can, and if you're looking for that extra 1%, which I think most athletes should, it's there if you want it. But really, you just gotta have like the baseline level of skills in terms of just like basic nutrition stuff. And like if you do that alone, you'll be so much better off than the vast majority of athletes out there, because a lot of them either don't know, or they think it doesn't matter that much for whatever reason, or they're too lazy to actually do it. So if you have like this basic foundation of even just like super simple stuff, like drink your water, eat your vegetables, eat enough calories, period, that'll go such a long way before you even have to get into the fancier, higher level stuff.
Well, and it's so weird too, because like we, as an athlete in general, you're going to be somewhat muscular. Like you're going to be, like when you were on the paleo diet, you probably looked like you were in the best shape of your life. And it's like you're a ticking time bomb. And it's like, and even people that, I think of what you said in your initial YouTube video that you made of, it was just like, it was like a matter of time before like somebody got hurt. But and I wonder what my life would have been like had I known this from the start, versus like eating Sherry's, Taco Bell, Wendy's chicken nuggets, Denny's pancakes, like all the stuff that I had my entire life because everybody did it, And then you tell your mom like, man, I wonder what kind of, because I've ate more vegetables, and I said this on my podcast I did last night. I've ate more vegetables in year 29 than I did the first 28 years. Like, and I just think about like how amazing I feel every single day. And granted, it's a lifestyle that like it's a whole change, with lifting and, breathing exercises and cold plunges, and there's everything that kind of ends up coming along with it as you get obsessed with becoming the best athlete you possibly can. But like then you're talking to your mom, you're like, Mom, like why did I have two sodas a day? And like, why was my life like this? And I even heard the other guy that was on your podcast talking about those peach candy rings when he went on that
Oh
low diet or that low fat diet. It's like, and my mom would be like, Mom, and she'll feel so bad. It's like, Mom, you just didn't know. Nobody knew. Like, we were taught this kind of stuff. So like, is it interesting for you to like to see that kind of stuff and be like, for and help explain to athletes? I guess here's my question. You're explaining it to athletes like, hey, if you just do water, vegetables, and eat enough calories, you are so far ahead, because I've seen it personally with my professional athlete teammates of they just eat like crap and they hardly eat.
I think the
It is a
biggest
huge
thing,
advantage.
yeah, I think the biggest thing there is just getting that initial buy-in on like those super basic things. Because the good thing about the basics that really work is that they're not that difficult to do. And if
Oh,
an
no, not
athlete
at
gets to
all.
a point where they're ready to make that change, then it wants to implement one of those basic things and see the tangible results of that. Like, whoa, I actually felt way better in that workout. Or, oh shit, I just hit a PR for the first time in 3 months. Or like my like tendinitis in my knee is like suddenly feeling much better. You start to
Oh my
see,
gosh.
once you start to see those tangible wins, creating buy-in for the rest of the process becomes way easier. Because I think
super easy.
Once athletes realize like what this is actually doing for them, for most of them, it's not really a conversation of like trying to motivate them anymore, because now they know that it's important. And now they've felt what can happen once they actually stick to it. So I think once you get those, because here's the thing, like for a training session, you feel that right away. Like you finish a workout, you're like, damn, that was a really good workout. Mm-hmm. Nutrition, you feel it. And honestly, pretty quickly, especially for athletic performance, you can see results fairly quickly. But it's not like you meal prep one time and you're like, yo, that was a sick meal prep session. Like, for someone who's never worked out before, never really trained before, you do one workout, you feel it right away. And you're like, oh, right. This is what that feels like. And then within a couple days, weeks, especially months, consistency, like you see some very like quick progress. Nutrition, like I said, for performance, it can be a little bit of the same. I think results happen fairly quickly for performance-based goals. Like if you go from under eating to eating enough calories, you'll notice it within a couple of days. But
right.
It's just not the same as like that direct connection when someone works out versus like eating one healthy meal. So
someone that has such a good, like big, broad perspective as you do, because someone that was always trying to be, you know, the best at something, it's not like you said, you didn't see that one paleo as a failure. You're like, okay, it's part of the big picture, and like now I know, and now I can help people better, I can help myself better.
Yeah.
So like as part as like having the patience to allow our bodies to get used to this, how much time do you kind of ask your athletes to be like, hey man, just give this a shot for like 20, is it, you do like the 21 days, like, you know, like it would be for like a habit, or like to see results, like how long do you kind of tell them to try and stay patient?
Man, I think it really depends on the athlete and the goal. Like for someone who's literally starting from ground zero, like I'm just like, dude, just give me 7 days of doing this and like you'll feel right. For an athlete who's maybe a little more experienced, or maybe they've done some stuff with their nutrition before and they're in a pretty decent place, then it takes a little bit more time. And especially if it's a goal more like muscle gain or fat loss or something like that, or they're just a very experienced athlete and they've been in the gym for a while and they're at that point where PRs don't really happen that often, even if you do everything right, then of course it'll take some time. But for those guys, they understand that and it's not really a huge deal. The good thing is for the guys that really need it, the results can happen fairly quickly. And sometimes even within the span of a couple of days, obviously to make it something that actually sticks. And I've heard the 21 day thing. I don't know like if that's like really like 20, obviously it's not like 21 days and it's like set, but
right.
The point still stands of like that long-term consistency. So I like to use those short-term wins to create that long-term consistency. And even if we just keep breaking it into like 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, eventually that turns into a month and then 2 months and then 3 months. And once they start to see the results, like I said, that momentum just kind of carries itself.
Right. And as a nutritionist, do you find yourself, I know for me, like I said, I don't work with people, but if I do train with somebody, it becomes everything. So like, as we're standing there and he'll, you know, talk about like, oh yeah, my knee was kind of bugging me. I literally look at him and be like, what'd you eat? Like in the last like week, like it's just, or then like, you know, if I hear anything about like relationship problems, it's like, then I'm a relationship coach. I kind of go into big brother mode. Like,
yeah,
as far as this could be really cool for, you know, my viewers to hear and someone who does potentially want to check you out. Cause there's a lot of nutritionists out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people. Well, there's people that claim to be nutritionists. For sure. And as Mike Milner said, they're like, yeah, we're going to do it calculated for you. It's like, okay.
Google could do that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. MyFitnessPal does that for me every single day.
Yeah.
But like, what separates you from that kind of stuff? Like, do you get connected, you get attached to your athletes and you want to keep reaching out and you want to see them like succeed? Like, do you have that same thing that I do?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think definitely, I think definitely for like the younger athletes, it's looking at like their whole life and like, why are, because it's one thing to say, like, okay, here are your macros, like you got to hit these macros. But like, if someone doesn't know how they're supposed to do that or how that fits in with their, how they're going to make their lifestyle fit to do that, like, how are you going to fit this in with school and with your practice schedule or whatever? Like it becomes very difficult to actually stick to the plan. If you can't stick to the plan, you're not going to get results. So the plan, you can formulate that using a calculator, and like I could send you a calculator if you want. You can even just type it on Google and it'll be fine. But it's like, okay, how do we now put you in a position to stick to that plan? And also, how is that plan going to be adjusted and fine-tuned as we go? Because like 99.99999% of the time, that initial plan is not what ends up working.
So true.
It's pretty much just like a super educated guess based on all the information that we have. So I'll have someone fill out an intake form and like do an initial food log without changing anything, which is probably the most, one of the most overlooked factors of building an actual nutrition plan that works. But
is to see that have like kind of like what you did with me is that like, hey, track it for a week, send it to me. I want to know what you're doing.
Right, yeah, that's the starting point. I always like to compare it to a GPS. So when you put something into a GPS, you have your destination, you have your starting point. If you don't put a starting point in, it's not going to give you directions. Same exact thing.
Right.
Like we know where you want to go in terms of your performance, in terms of gaining muscle, losing body fat, whatever the goal is. But a lot of people kind of skip over the step of actually looking at like, okay, where are we starting from? Often.
Right. Let me see where you're failing, because that's going to give me a complete perspective of
for sure
how I can help you.
And not even,
and granted, they might eat a little cleaner that week because they're like, hey, I got to show this to Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to tell my athletes not to do that. I feel like they still do anyway. Cause like, obviously like if, and that's probably what's honestly, especially for actually general population people, that's one of the benefits of tracking. Even if you don't have any sort of target to hit, if you're tracking, you're going to think twice about entering in that donut.
That's so true. Actually, I got a quick story to tell you then. Cause I was in Germany. And I think I probably told you this on the phone, but I haven't told my podcast listeners this, was I started tracking everything because I was like, there's something I'm missing here.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you said about your D3 experience. Like I'm in the gym 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. Like I'm doing all this. I'm not really seeing the gains. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. So let's track everything. Let's track how much I sleep. Let's track everything that I eat. I was keeping it in a written journal. And when I had to hand write that I had 4 bowls of cereal
for real
in like a 2-hour period after I had already had cereal that morning, which is so like it's embarrassing to admit right now.
Bro, you're not alone. I've met multiple people who have probably done something very similar.
I know, but just what you're saying right there of when you track something and you have to, you want to lie to yourself because of what you did, it's just like, oh God. Okay. This clearly needs to change. This is the reason why I couldn't get off the toilet. Okay. I get it.
definitely.
So anyways, you were talking about just when you were tracking it, like you just, it helps people see it.
Yeah.
You can't run from it.
Yeah. It helps people see it. And then, And then what I was talking about was the fact that, your initial prescription, your initial plan is probably not going to be the plan that works. So we do all that stuff and that kind of gives us a good starting point. And then we just kind of test and fine tune from there. So like if your goal is to gain muscle and it turns out you're supposed to be eating 3,000 calories. And then we have you eat 3,000 calories to gain muscle and you don't gain muscle. You're not going to keep eating 3,000 calories. Like you got to change that. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. So learning how to fine tune, make adjustments and okay, let's try 3,100. That works now?
Wait.
We're good. If not, then you adjust some more. And then also.
So there are times where literally 100 calorie difference is going to change how people build muscle.
Yeah. So maintenance. So the idea of maintenance calories, so how many calories you need to eat to maintain your weight. Maintenance is more of like a range. And what we'll see a lot of times, both in terms of muscle gain and fat loss, is that initial departure from maintenance, so either above or below, that's where kind of the biggest change is going to be made, or the biggest deviation is going to be made. So for example, you'll oftentimes hear people say, oh, to gain muscle, you'll go into a 500 calorie surplus. If your maintenance is 3,000 calories and you up to 30, and you up to 3,050, that's probably not going to do anything. Your body's just going to adapt and burn a little more calories and you're not going to gain any weight. But once you kind of get to that outer limit of maintenance, so let's say we go up to 3,500 and you're still not gaining weight, you might still kind of be in that maintenance range of yours. At that point, a 50 to 100 calorie increase could kind of tip the scales. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah, 100%. It kind of reminds me of like what I heard when I initially heard about like creatine, because, you know, we already create creatine in our bodies, but that initial shock loading phase would like make our bodies react differently versus through like it would have to kick out of maintenance mode, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I would liken it to creatine, just because creatine, it's not really that much of a threshold. I mean, I think, yeah, okay. either way, if you can load, if you want it to happen quickly and saturate your creatine stores more quickly, you can load. But even if you just do a maintenance dose of like 3 to 5 grams, over time,
okay. Well, I didn't mean to like throw you off like on a completely different tangent, but I just meant like I guess. What I was trying to correlate it to for myself and maybe for someone else to help understand is like, basically it's that loading phase. Is it kind of similar to like your loading phase, but with nutrition of you're trying to shock your system into saying, hey, we're doing something new.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a decent way to look at it for sure. Like, I think a good analogy would be like, let's say, I don't know how good of an analogy this will be, but let's say you're in a, let's say like you're in like your general chemistry lab, anyone who's been in that situation, and you're like doing some sort of titration where you have to like slowly add in like little drops until like the reaction happens. That's kind of what we're doing. So like,
right.
Obviously we're not going to go up like 25 calories at a time until we hit that point, but we'll start off. that would just be so boring and it would take forever, but we're kind of starting off with a bigger jump. But after that bigger jump, then we're kind of doing that sort of titration of like, okay, let's add 50 more, 100 more, and then when you kind of hit that point, you hit that point and now you're gaining.
Yep,
that's kind of more what we're doing there.
That's fast. I love the drops. I love the drops. Because I mean, obviously, we're talking about things that we completely understand. But sometimes other people might be coming in and be like, maybe I need little bit of a metaphor to help me out here. And the science drops, that one, I like that one. It's clear. Do you have any absolute, like, no's for your athletes? I know I saw one of your posts talking about, like, cutting out some of your favorite foods and athletes trying to eat too clean. But are there some where you're like, okay, don't have that cinnamon roll. Like, don't have this. Like, do you have any absolute?
I think it's very context dependent. I'm very hesitant to say like, don't have that. I would say if you're like, if it's a couple hours before your game or if it's the night before your game, like don't have something that you know is going to make you feel like crap. Like that's probably the one scenario I'm like, dude, just don't have it. But I would hope that most athletes understand that. But honestly, you'd be surprised. I know, especially at the high school level, like I know some of my teammates went to like Taco Bell before a game. Like what? Even at that point, I had no idea about nutrition. I was like, something isn't right here. Luckily, I didn't do that. But I had teammates that did. I was like, that just doesn't seem smart. But that's probably the one scenario I'm like, dude, just don't have those foods. Like there's a time and a place. Even if you want to have Taco Bell, which for some reason people enjoy it, which power to you, but everyone has their own opinion. I respect that. But I think really like the one scenario where I'm like, don't just leave it out is before you need to perform to your highest ability. And right. Especially in the hours before, but even in the day or two before, because something that you have a day ago or even 2 days ago, can affect how you feel and how you perform. So just being aware of that and understanding the context of the situation. So if someone's in their postseason phase, they just finished their season, they're tired and they just want to chill out and they want to go have like a burger and fries or even during the season, that's fine. But if they want to just have something that, like, for example, I'm lactose intolerant. If I have ice cream, probably not going to feel too great. Definitely not a good idea to have that before a game. But if I'm like just in a period of time where I'm like, do you know what? I haven't had this, my favorite ice cream flavor in forever. I know it's not going to like be the best thing in the world for me, but I'm okay with that. And I don't have any performance kind of requirements anytime soon. Yep. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm playing FIFA tomorrow and I'm resting on my Sunday.
Yeah. I don't know how much of a rest day that is. Honestly, it's fucking stressful, dude, but it's a different type of stress though.
The different type of stress level.
No one. If anyone wants to run it on FIFA, just shoot me a DM on Instagram.
Ooh,
I'll hand
you
out.
guys heard that. You guys heard that. Yeah, we'll have your Instagram and everything in the show links and everything like that.
But yeah, hopefully they answered your question.
You know, it's interesting.
Hopefully they answered your question though.
No, you definitely did. I know that, you know, for me, I have some, my absolute nose is like the 30-cent loaf of bread.
Yeah, I think those types of things, it's like moderation's important, but like at a certain point, like, you know, if it's something that you should be having or not. And I think a lot of times we want these like hard set rules, but at the same time, it's just like, yeah, that's probably not the best thing for you to be having. Like, most of the time, even if you have no idea about nutrition at all, if you ask someone, like, is this healthy or is this not healthy, most of the time, they'll get it right. Like, yeah. You kind of know that already. And I would say, if anything just makes you feel like absolute crap, you probably shouldn't be having it. And if it makes you feel like crap, you probably don't even want it in the first place. Like, ice cream is great, but if I know I'm not going to feel the best, I don't want it that bad. It's not something that even comes into the conversation most of the time.
Right. Is it really a treat if it makes you feel awful 10 minutes?
Exactly.
And the reason why I said that though is because, like, I feel like you probably hear this a lot. I'm sure there's plenty of excuses. Actually, I'm going to ask this question first, mm-hmm. and then we'll go into it. What's the excuse that you hear most when you're like, hey, you need to change, like, you know, your nutrition?
I would say the biggest, like, response in terms of nutrition, I don't know if it's an excuse, but, like, just the idea that they're fine without it. And a lot of times you'll see guys that are, like, freak athletes or super talented, even at the professional level, that still just don't eat well. And what I really want players to understand is that if that's the case, you're there in spite of your eating habits, not because of them. And
I'm really surprised you said
and
that.
And there are, I think that's probably the biggest thing. And then in terms of like excuses, just the whole idea of not having time to track their food or using MyFitnessPal is too difficult or something like that. And like you and I both know, there's a little bit of a learning curve there, but overall it's not something that's crazy hard to get down.
Yeah, no, it's not going to take me as long as it would to watch a League of Legends video on
exactly.
YouTube and waste 40 minutes of my life. I would enjoy that.
Definitely.
But I guess what I was seeing, if you ever heard, was, oh, it's just too expensive to buy the supplements and the bars and like the Dave's Killer Bread versus just like the 99 cent loaf and the sugar.
That's a good point for sure. And I think two things there. Like one, a lot of the expensive stuff when it comes to eating healthy is like the quote unquote like superfood snacks and all these like the protein bars and like supplements and stuff like that you don't actually really even need to actually dial in your nutrition. Like the simple stuff like your meats and your rice and your vegetables and your sweet potatoes, and sweet potatoes are vegetables, but you know what I mean? And all those like the basic things aren't that expensive. And especially like shopping at places like Trader Joe's is a gold mine for this stuff. Even like quote unquote lore, it doesn't have to be organic. Organic should it being organic or not doesn't have to be the deciding factor between whether or not you eat healthy or you go and have McDonald's. Like non-organic meat yep. and produce and fruit and whole grains is going to be a lot better than a Big Mac. Or I'm trying to think of an example of something that's just so obviously bad for you, but it says it's organic, but I can't think of anything off the top of my mind.
Probably like the new like the Unwhopper or the non-whopper.
Oh yeah,
what is it?
Yeah, so stuff like that. It's like there's no comparison there. So it's like eating healthy doesn't have to be that expensive. And like I said, you don't need that stuff to get your nutrition right. Just stick with the basics, and you'd be surprised how affordable it can be. And also the idea that even if you're in a situation where even that is just a stretch financially, like. Everyone's situation is different, but just do what you can. Mm-hmm. Just do what you can with what you've got. Whether that, yeah.
Well, what I
go ahead.
it's funny because I get to see this. I'm on the front lines and I play basketball. So this will actually be fascinating for you, and you might be able to use this going forward with some of your athletes. Is people, especially a lot of my teammates, I'm usually the only white guy on the team, and actually I'm always the only white guy on the team, and they'll be like, oh man, you just got money. Like, you know, you always have these healthy snacks with you. Like, you know, you always have the expensive bread and like the expensive, yeah. I was like, man, like I guarantee I have less money than a lot of them, but the only thing that my money goes to is my health. And the nugs of weed, the grams of weed that people buy, the drinks and the alcohol that people buy, the sugary, you know, orange juices, and like, you know, the money that goes, the allocation of funds, if you will, is so fascinating at the professional level, and like how often they eat out, and like, you know, we get per diem, for goodness sake. You know, when you're working with an athlete, you get, you know, you might get $120 of per diem over a weekend. That's a week's worth vegetables. Yeah. Like, and it's just fascinating to me. So I was curious to know if, oh, I'm losing you. I do not want to lose this recovery. Oh, okay, cool. I lost you for a second there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? I think we're good.
Yeah. Okay, that scared me. I was like, I don't want to lose this. It gave me the option. It was actually kind of cool because that's never happened, and it gave me the option to save and disconnect. So I guess I appreciate Anchor for that. Awesome. But yeah, I was curious to know if you'd ever heard someone say, man, it's so expensive, because people would look at me and be like, hey man, you always got money. It's like, no, I just don't buy alcohol or weed or I don't eat out. Like, if I on the road trip, I'll take my per diem, and that first $20 I get is my entire weekend's worth of vegetables and food that I'm going to be cooking. And then the rest of it goes in my pocket for the following week.
Yeah, so for sure.
Have you ever heard somebody say like, hey, it's too expensive to do that? It's really not.
Yeah. I haven't heard that excuse a ton. I hear it every once in a while. A lot of times I'll hear it from like the younger guys. I haven't heard it a ton from the pro guys that I've worked with. But definitely in terms of that, it just comes down to like understanding that it's an investment in your health. And like I said, making the best with what you've got. So even if you can't like buy the perfect foods or like the highest quality foods, like doing what you can and still like prioritizing your health, because that in turn is going to allow you to make more money down the line if you're healthy enough to continue your career. And that's I think a lot of younger athletes that are in high school, college, and like younger pro guys need to understand is like, yeah, you feel fine right now and you might be perfectly fine, but eventually if you're not eating right, you're not recovering right, it's going to catch up to you at some point. And if you put yourself in a position where you extend your career and extend the amount of years that you can play at a high level and compete and earn a paycheck and do that doing something that you love, that's going to put you in a really good position. Whereas if you're just kind of like, oh, I'm fine, like I'm good, like you might be now, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. And that's just something I hope a lot of younger athletes understand.
So I was going to start out with this quote, but I always just kind of flow with the conversation.
For sure.
Because there was a quote that you had on your Instagram that actually shifted the way that I viewed recovery. And you have no idea about this, and this is super fun for me.
I think I know you're going with this.
You might. But it's your quote literally was on Instagram. It was right after we talked, and the quote was recover before your body forces you to recover. And it said, and you said, read that again. And for me, then we had talked about, you know, hitting our limits. I've always been nose to the wall, keep going. And, you know, I almost forget to eat sometimes because I've been in the gym for so long. And when I read that quote, I remembered how often I'd been injured over the past 5 years of playing basketball. Yeah. I've only played basketball for 6 years now. And over the first 5 years, I would get injured at least every 3 to 4 months, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them were, you know, minimal, but I would be out for, you know, a week or so. And over the last year and 3 months, and I'm not even going to knock on wood, because it's from an entire lifestyle shift of recovering and really taking that time. I have not even been like sore. I mean, I have like little soreness when I walk in, and I'm maybe a tiny bit stiff, but like, I feel 16. Like, I feel like I barely have to stretch when I'm like warming up.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to thank you for, I don't know if you got that from somebody else, or if it was one of the things that, you know, something that really resonated with you, but it really resonated with me.
Awesome, man. The funny thing is, I actually just like reposted something very similar along those lines like last week. So I was like, oh, you probably saw it last week. That's dope that you found that one from a while ago when I first posted that. But I'm sorry, I think my dog's freaking out a little bit in the background. But what I was saying was, definitely learned that from like my own experience and just like going down that road way too many times of like continuing to push and continuing to push and continuing to push, because a lot of times you kind of see those messages, especially now with social media, a bunch of these like motivational people are like, just grind it out and like keep working and like no days off and this sort of mentality. And I think who you're talking to really matters. So like for people like us, that messaging doesn't really help a lot. I think it can actually cause more harm than good. For someone who's struggling to get off the couch and is just being very lazy, or for whatever reason is just not super motivated to get going, that kind of messaging can help them get going. That's great. But I think understanding that the difference between those two situations, like for someone like me, I don't need someone to tell me to keep going. Like I'll keep going like during my playing career, now with the business, like I'm just going to keep going. And understanding that slowing down is just as important in basketball and any sport, in building a business, really in anything that you're trying to pursue, or else at some point your body's going to be like, nah, dude, like screw you. You got to slow down. And then that's when you get injured. That's sick. It happened to me earlier this year. Like I got sick for like,
Oh, really?
Pretty hard, like for two weeks. And I was like nonstop from like December to March, just like working. And then I just burnt out like super hard. Like I think early March it was. And my body forced me to recover. And now luckily I've kind of finally started to learn. And been, as you said earlier, been taking Sundays off just to play video games, do stuff that has nothing to do with what I'm actually trying to accomplish. But in a sense, it does have everything to do with what I'm trying to accomplish.
Everything.
Because that sets me up then to be able to come back Monday and actually want to do work, versus being like, why am I doing this? I'm exhausted. And then you kind of end up feeling burnt out. So recovery is just one of those things. Like, and it, I still kind of, I don't struggle as much with it anymore, but it does creep in sometimes, that kind of like, I just need to push through. And I think there are times where you do need to push through. So there are times where it's like, okay, I feel tired today, but just suck it up, just get it done. But I think having those scheduled periods of recovery allows for that to happen effectively. So if I know, if I wake up Saturday, I'm like, I feel like I got hit by a truck, but I know tomorrow I have a day off.
Right.
I'm going to get my stuff on Saturday and I'll be fine with it, because I know tomorrow I can just not do anything. That's kind
of, I really hope people hear
my experience with that.
I really hope people hear that. And I really hope some parents, I know there's some parents that listen to my podcast. I really hope some parents understand that, because, you know, there's going to be days where, I mean, my mom had questions every once in a while where she'd see me just chilling around. And I mean, just straight lounging. Yeah. But like, and then she'd be like, are you going to do anything today? And it's like, they're not in like, she was giving me a hard time. She wasn't like saying like, hey, like, you know, go do something. Like I'm, you know, 28 years old and I just happened to be at the house during my off season. And so she was just like, are you going to do something today? Like, and I was like, nope. And that is doing something, because that is so incredible. It used to be incredibly difficult for me. And so I hope that some parents to hear this, some athletes that need to hear this, like, it's not a, it is so, you are actually doing something for yourself when you're not doing something. If it's something, like you said, like once a week or once every like couple weeks, to absolutely just check out.
Definitely. I mean, like most of the time you're going to be grinding. Most of the time you're going to be doing the work. Most of the time you're going to have to push through, but like you can't do that all the time.
Right.
And yeah, taking that time to relax and chill out is just super, super important.
And this is one of the last, this is the last things, and I'll let you go. And like I said, I appreciate you being on here, or one of the last things. But like, I actually saw your post in March, one of your posts in March, and it said there was a hint of frustration behind the, how am I, you know, I'm putting out this content and I don't feel the traction. And there was one post, it was like, hey, could you, it was when Instagram changed its algorithm once again, and like, we were getting, you know, 80 views
yeah.
on something that we had spent, you know, 2 hours on. How are you enjoying / handling this competition in the social media world and the business world for this attention?
Yeah, it's definitely, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't frustrating. I think to an extent, it's tough. Because I mean, as you and I know, like, you got to enjoy the process, and I do enjoy the process of creating content and stuff like that. And that's why I put out so much of it on a weekly basis, but I'd be lying if I said at some points it didn't like get to me. And it was like, right. put like 4, 5, 6 hours into this YouTube video, and it got what, like 20 views, like sick. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But, but it's interesting though. And it's been a fun learning experience. And the cool thing, like, it's been cool to see the Instagram page get some more traction in the past like month. It's been going really, really well. And I'm hoping that translates over to the YouTube and even more to the podcast. And trying to figure out TikTok to see you got down pretty well.
I got TikTok down, bro.
Trying to figure out the TikTok space. That's something I've been experimenting with. So just trying to be everywhere and being okay with the fact that it's going to be a little bit, especially on like platforms like Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that, organic growth is going to be pretty slow. But the cool thing, mm-hmm. kind of built this community of like very loyal followers and people that I know are getting a lot of value out of my stuff. So that's why I'm totally cool with putting it out, and maybe it doesn't go viral, but the 50, 100, sometimes like 200, 300 people that see it and like actually watch it and read the stuff and get value out of it are really getting value out of it. And I know eventually that'll translate into whatever it's going to translate into, whether it's income or just impacting more people or whatever. But mm-hmm. yeah, definitely. So that side of things is it's interesting for sure.
Well, it's cool too, because the way I look at it is, and the reason why I call this a relatable role models episode, is that you are still in that fight whilst having, you know, a business and while, you know, having some form of success. And I get to see, and it's cool because I pay attention to people that I respect, mm-hmm. and you're definitely one of those people. And so I saw the little nuances of the post change and the little slight frustration. And then I've seen the recent, like, the momentum, and like I can feel that momentum shift, and it's super cool for me, because if I look at such a big picture of let's say five years, you know, you have your own nutritional podcast that's, you know, one of the bigger ones, you could have this audio clip where it was like, yeah, it is kind of frustrating at times, and then people don't look at the Will Smiths and the Oprahs and everyone of like, oh man, they're so different. We're all the exact sure. same. And at some point, you know, Will Smith walked into, you know, an acting studio and like had to get his way on and fight through the noise. And if we're trying to get from one place of norm, I call it normalcy, really. If we tried to have a somewhat normal life, and if people are happy with that, that's wonderful. But people who are listening to my podcast usually aren't happy with a normal life. And so like, we have a normal life, and then there's that fight. And that fight through the normalcy, when you're starting to get some form of success. And then once you get towards the top, people, it's like a plateau, but no, you're trying to push towards that, like that upper echelon
yeah.
is really difficult. And I think for people to get through to that point, it's going to take that, number one, it's a little bit of belief and hope. So seeing people like yourself that are there, they're like, okay, he's doing it too. It's going to motivate me to like continue pushing. And maybe someone hit that, like, your march right now. Maybe someone's in your march right now and they're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to shift my perspective a little bit and then like change my tactics and change my strategy. Cause I saw your strategy change too, which was really cool. And then you get to see the other side and they're like, oh man, that, that one March really wasn't that bad, and it taught me a lot. So I think it's just super cool. So I'm really glad you came on the podcast. My last question that I ask everybody on the podcast, and I call it the Related Role Models episode or episodes, because, you know, you're going through this fight right now, but what makes you exactly like everybody else?
I think we talked about like earlier in the show, like for all the athletes I'm trying to help, like I was in their spot and I wasn't this star athlete. I was very average. Just worked super hard, and that allowed me to get to a level where only a small percentage of people get to. And even that, like, I wasn't like some D1 basketball star, played D3, which is still great by all means, but wasn't this crazy athlete. Just worked super hard and like was trying to be the best. And I think that makes me very relatable to a lot of people that follow me and like the guys that I work with, and everyone just in that position where maybe they're not like the most genetically gifted for their sport, but they're working hard. They want to be the best. So, I guess that's how I'd answer that.
Well, and I guess what I'll finish with is think about how you got almost every ounce out of the body that you had. Like, you know, you were saying that like, you know, you weren't the most athletic, but you still got everything you could out of it. And just with your work ethic. And can you imagine your work ethic and your nutrition and your thoughts going into like these little bit more of like a freak athlete, if you, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what I'm trying to get these guys to understand. I think the pros at some point or another, if they want to last at that level, kind of start to understand it. Usually around like that 30-year-old mark, they're like, oh wow, actually, yeah, eating right is probably important. But like, I want them to understand that earlier. I think it's going to become more and more important because I mean, teams are investing in like nutritionists and personal chefs and like all these like fancy things that these athletes are getting access to at a younger age. So I think it'll start to go that direction. Like nutrition is kind of like that next thing that a lot of athletes are going to latch on to, but just hopefully getting athletes to understand that if they have that potential and pair that with a nutrition plan and actually take care of their body, get the right amount of sleep, get like trained the right way, stuff like that. The sky's the limit, really.
Cool. Well, Tommy, I thank you enough for coming on here. I followed you for a while and there's a reason why I wanted to have you on this episode. I think it could bring a lot of people help. Where can they find you on Instagram and your podcast?
Appreciate it, man. No, dude, I appreciate you having me on the show. This was definitely a super fun conversation. I said the best place to find me is on Instagram at T Clark Nutrition. If you're on TikTok, if you're watching right now or whatever,
it's on live.
Right it's now. On live right now, yo. If you're listening on live, whoever's in here right now, whoever watches it, is it possible to have like past broadcasts on TikTok?
As far as like when you do a live broadcast, will it like stay? Yeah.
No. Oh, damn. Well, whoever's watching right now on TikTok, please go follow me at T Clark Nutrition. That's the one platform where I'm trying, man. So any help I can get on that platform would be amazing, but. In terms of content, I would say Instagram is probably the main one right now. And then the podcast is the Peak Performance Project. So there's three new episodes going out every single week interviewing awesome guests. Would love to have you on there as well. Can definitely set that up. I think Instagram would be the best place. I'm on Facebook too, but Facebook is really like me just like copying and pasting the post from Instagram. So Instagram would probably be the way to go.
I'm going to put your, what's your, is it just T Clark Nutrition on here?
Yeah, same username.
On yep. T Clark. Okay, T Clark Nutrition. I just put it. There's currently. I mean, there's only currently six people chilling on the live, but there's. I usually have upwards of 1,000 people that just kind of stop in as I'm going live. So we'll see how many people. I'm gonna hang out for another 30 minutes with these guys after I'm off. Oh, here, so we'll see. We can't get you a few TikTok followers.
Would love that, man. Would love that. But dude, thank you so much for having me on. This was an awesome conversation.
I knew it was gonna be. All the best, brother.
Thanks, man. You too.
And for those of you who haven't left a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you are listening to this, I don't care if you listen 5 stars. It's up to you. It's up to you with the value that I give to you. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. But I'm just so thankful that you guys are here and you've taken the time. And hopefully you found this very knowledgeable. You might have to go back and listen to it a couple times, mostly for mindset. And I think that's, you know, obviously the micros and the macros are going to be important when it comes to nutrition, but that's really what I wanted to dig out of Tommy was the mindset that he goes into and like some of the things that he thinks about, because I think that's where we're going to make the shift in our bodies, is if we can come it from the mind and we can come it from the heart. That's when we're going to make the shift, not just looking at the numbers. So hopefully you guys found this very informational and helpful for you guys. And then we will potentially be doing a mini part 2 if I end up on his podcast, and I'll let you guys know in the future. All the best.